T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Chris Raby, how are you, Chris?
What's going on, buddy?
You know what I learned about you today? Well, no, yesterday. During the meeting, they gave you a shout-out here at Intercom when the bigwigs were in town. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, they mentioned you're doing some stuff for the radio.com, and you're a sports contributor, and you're someone that's well-respected in the community there. So that's awesome, man.
Yeah, it's a cool thing that Intercom is doing now with radio.com, sports insiders, some national people and some local people. And yeah, it's been fun, man. I've found that, especially when you work in a market like St. Louis and you're around the Cardinals or the Blues, people always want to talk to you. So yeah, that's a good thing.
It is a good thing. So the Blues and the Stars Enterprise Center tomorrow night, 8:30 is when the puck drops. You're going to hear it here on KMOX. I wanted to get some of your impressions of what we should be looking for when the Blues take on the Stars.
I think a close series. Obviously, two teams that know each other really well. Dallas won 3 of 4 this season, and I think the kind of interesting thing is that, you know, two of those three wins came when the Blues were playing really, really well. But I don't know how much you take from those matchups, just because this season for the Blues was so interesting, and the Blues faced them a couple of times with some guys out. And just the way that this year has gone and the way the Stanley Cup playoffs have gone, you know, I feel like you can't really bank on anything. I think the Blues in Winnipeg were very, very close by virtue of, you know, how well they know each other. I feel like Dallas and Nashville the same way, Winnipeg and Nashville the same way last year. So, you know, I expect a really, really close series. I guess one of the big questions is how much will home ice matter after it didn't matter at all in the first round against the Jets?
Yeah, that's true. And there's a lot of pumped up fans. This is going to be a really big goaltending matchup between the two teams. Both are playing extremely well.
Yeah, Binnington obviously has been one of the stories of the NHL since he took over back on January 7th and made his first start in Philadelphia. And then St. Louis and Ben Bishop has been, you know, incredible. He's obviously a guy who has done it before. He's got the hardware. He has been to the mountaintop, and he led the NHL in save percentage over the regular season. So he's a big guy. He is a very, very active. He is, I think, just as a hockey fan, a lot of fun to watch. And, yeah, two goaltenders that are both playing really well. Bishop ended the season on a really, really high note as well. I mean, he had 4 shutouts in his last 7 full games that he played. He missed some time in the middle of March with a lower body injury, but, you know, it didn't seem to slow him down at all.
And I watch, too, of just how sometimes these players can feed off of each other. And I look at Bishop, who is a hometown guy, and he's going to feed off of the starts here in St. Louis, I'm sure, which will elevate his game. I think Binnington wants to prove himself, so I think that'll elevate his game, too. I mean, we're, I think, up for a real big matchup between these two.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun to watch some of the best go head-to-head when the stage is the biggest. And I know that it's not technically Ben Bishop and Jordan Binnington going head to head, but you know, a goaltender can swing a game or swing a playoff series. I certainly think we saw Jordan Binnington swing, you know, the Blues season once he got into the net. I think he is pretty much the reason why the Blues are where they are right now. They have kind of taken on his personality, his swagger, and his production. So yeah, I can't wait to see, you know, a couple of games that Binnington was just, I mean, every game, but really a couple of moments that he was just unreal and really kind of helped the Blues win that series against the Jets. And, you know, for Bishop as well, I'm sure it's going to be a great matchup.
Chris Raby joining us here on Overnight America. Now, I don't know if there's ever been a goalie fight in the playoffs. That could be a fun head-to-head right there.
Who in the playoffs? I don't know. But
I've never seen it.
I definitely had playoffs, the Curtis Joseph, Tim Shevel day. Yeah.
Ooh. There's some really great goalie fights, historically speaking, but they're rare enough that they stand out. So let's say
Jordan Binnington fought, and you can ask Mike Anderson, did he fight Phoenix Copley? The two former teammates like a year ago in the AHL?
Say that again, producer Mike. Can you come on real quick? He said there was one person that came to mind that he fought. Who was it?
Well, the Stars.
No. Didn't Binnington in the AHL like last year fight Phoenix Copley?
He's checking right now. He's double checking. And
yeah,
the AHL.
They were teammates. So Phoenix Copley was acquired by the Blues and they traded TJ Oshie to Washington for Troy Brower and Copley. And he was in the Blues organization. Then they traded him back to Washington in the Kevin Shattenkirk deal. And I think Binnington and Copley fought.
Yeah, it looks like December 16th, 2017, when Phoenix
right,
Copley
so when
was
Copley was back, yeah, when he was back in the Caps organization, former teammates who spent a year together, 2016 in Chicago, and then part of 2017, then they fought. So there you go. Jordan Binnington's been known to drop the gloves.
Ooh, okay. Well, now we're going to have to check the Vegas odds of a goalie fight.
Yeah.
That can make you a millionaire overnight. With that, like that guy that bid on, spent like a couple grand on Tiger Woods to win the Masters. No one thought he was going to do it, and the guy ends up being a millionaire. Put some money down on a goalie fight.
No one thought he was going to do it. He was like 12-1. He was like the favorite.
What?
I mean, no one thought he was going
to
do it.
Tiger Woods was 12-1?
Yeah, but I think the guy put down $75,000.
Was it that much? Wow. But he ends up winning a million off of it or something. It's insane.
Well, yeah, because 75 times 12 is like 1,000.
Wait, 75 times 12, I guess that would.
Well, I think it was 14-1, okay. And he put down 75 grand. So what's 75 times 14?
That's got to
be. That would be 750, 350, 700. That's 1.45 million.
Yeah. Wow. Are you just naturally good at math or just when it comes to adding up money?
No, I mean,
impressive.
Good at checking my. You can check my math, but I'm good at checking my online banking.
So with
and it's always zero. It's always close to zero.
Oh man, that's depressing. I know what you mean. You always wait for that next paycheck to drop. So what's the key for St. Louis? What do you think they have to do to adjust to beat a Dallas Stars?
I just think keep playing their game. I know that might sound simple. By the way, I think 1.05 million. Okay. I know that's like really simple, but that's what they've done all year. I was talking to Curbs about this earlier tonight. They've never panicked. And whether it's the middle of January or the middle of February when, you know, they've needed to literally win every single game in order to get into the postseason, or if it's game one in Winnipeg when they're down in the third period, or, you know, they're down at home, or they fall behind 2-0 entering the third period of game five with the potential of going back home and facing elimination, they've never wavered and they've stuck to what's gotten them to this point. They've been, I think, just very, very composed, very disciplined. They don't take bad penalties. Like you saw the end of the Sharks Knights game last night. They have done everything that has gotten them to this point, and they've been just unwavering and continuing to play that way.
One other observation before we go, Chris Raby, and the Dallas Stars jerseys are ugly, so I'm glad we at least beat them on that. I think they're one of the ugliest jerseys in the NHL.
I just feel like it's a jersey that's been changed like a bunch of times, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's just kind of been like, I don't know, almost like afflictioned. Like they just keep changing it over and over and tweaking it and adding like more stripes and more accents and, you know, sometimes less is more.
Yeah, it's an ugly color with an ugly logo on top of it. We better not lose to him. Chris Raby, I'm so glad you joined us here. Thanks for coming on, breaking down the Blues and Stars matchup that begins tomorrow night.
Yeah, buddy, hopefully we're talking tomorrow night about the Blues winning game one.
Oh, man, I'm going to be playing Gloria for an hour straight if they win. I think
there
that's going to be the next thing. All right, thanks, Chris.
Thanks, man. Talk to you guys.
Oh, yeah. Talking some Blues. Feeling good about round two. Nervous now that it's actually the game day. It's officially Thursday, 1:15 a.m. in St. Louis, Missouri, which means, Hopefully they're still not playing 24 hours from now. It could be one of those crazy late night double, triple overtime deals, but game one, come on, boys. I know you can do it. Joining us next, Becky Lomax, and she wrote a book looking at some of the national parks of the United States. You know, if you're someone that wants to travel and check out some of these beautiful national parks, what can you expect from them? We'll talk to her about it, her experiences on KMOX. And joining us now is a parks expert, also a former outdoors guide with the new book called USA National Parks, The Complete Guide to All 59 Parks. Becky Lomax, thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
Thank you for inviting me.
Beautiful parks. I got to ask about the cover alone. Where was that picture taken?
Oh, that cover is from Grand Teton National Park. It's String Lake with the Tetons right behind it.
Wow, it's beautiful. There's a lot of, you know, there's so many beautiful sites in the United States to visit and to experience for yourself. I'm someone that doesn't travel a lot, but I tell my wife, if we ever do go on vacations, I don't think I ever want to leave the United States. There's so many great places to see here that I just want to travel and see all the things in this country first.
Well, there are certainly some amazing places. I mean, where do you see places like the Grand Canyon? You know, you look down this 5,000-foot deep chasm. It's just incredible.
So you look at national parks, and I was curious, too, because, you know, there's some parks and things like, you know, the Gateway Arch is, I think, technically a national park. But what met the qualifications for the parks you were looking at?
Well, actually, that's a very good question. The ones that have the official title, National Park, are the ones we took for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as soon as we went to print with the book, that's when Gateway Arch became a national park.
Oh, really?
Yes! So, what people can do with Gateway Arch is we have that chapter online at moon.com, and they can go download that chapter.
Oh,
they
that's nice.
They'll have it. It's like, it'll be in the next edition of the book, but that's down the road a ways, you know.
Well, I wanted to, first thing I did, I open up the book and I flip around. I'm like, oh, cool, let's see. Wait a minute. And then, what's cool, too, is you break it down by different regions. And being that we're here right in the, almost in the center with, you know, the Gateway to the West, we're in St. Louis, Missouri. What are some of the closest national parks we could check out from here?
I think, well, besides Gateway Arch, the closest for St. Louis is Mammoth Cave. And, you know, that's the longest known cave system in the world. And you can go to it, and they have about, I want to say about 12 different types of tours you can go on. Anything from there's a super easy tour through the cave, and they're all ranger-led. And so you get explanations of what you're looking at, why you go look at them. And then it's some of the more difficult ones, you're kind of on your hands and knees and scrambling in pretty tight places.
Are you brave enough to do that?
Well, I love going in caves, but, you know, when it starts getting really tight, that's when I kind of think, ooh, I hope there's no earthquake right now.
I can't do it. I'm just too nervous. Even thinking about it, I get a little bit nervous. You know? Well, that's fun. And I think there's a lot of interest when it comes to family vacations. National parks are great locations. Like, you could go there and you can experience something that you really can't experience where you live. But it just, there's so many different, I don't know if flavors is the right word, but there's so many different experiences you can have at different locations. It's like they're all unique in their own ways.
Totally. Yeah. And I love your word flavor because that is what, it, you know, they are each a different unique thing going on, and while you can find some, you know, a few similarities between some of them, they all have these just ultra unique features that make you want to go and do that particular thing, see that particular thing.
Yeah.
Do that, you know, it's scenic drive in, you know, say Rocky Mountain National Park, because you can drive up to 12,000 feet, and most people don't get that high in their lives because it's, you know, you have to hike or climb to do it. But there, you can drive up that high. You get out of the car and you can't breathe because you're at high elevation. You take six steps and you're exhausted.
Yeah. The book is called USA National Parks, The Complete Guide to All 59 Parks, and author Becky Lomax joining us. So let's say we're planning a trip and we check out the caves. So we go from St. Louis, we check out some caves. Where do we go to after that if we're trying to maybe plot out a road trip from where we are?
Well, you know, if you're going to do Mammoth Cave, you can make a wonderful loop that drops from Mammoth Cave down to Great Smoky Mountains National Park and then go up the Blue Ridge Parkway to Shenandoah National Park and then loop back to St. Louis.
Mm.
So it's a way to take, that's a good three-park loop there, and then connected, of course, by the Blue Ridge Parkway.
Awesome. That's a good idea. What I love, too, about this book, at the very back end, there's a physical map, and it's one you can take out and you can put in your car. I remember any time I traveled with my dad, you better believe he had no less than three maps in his car. So he always had, because we lived in Michigan, he always had Michigan, he had Ohio in case we went mm-hmm. south, and then he always had just a general map of the United States. And then if we're traveling somewhere else, like let's say we're driving through Pennsylvania to New Jersey or something to visit family, add more maps into that. So the physical map is something that I miss. I don't think we ever had a car that didn't have multiple maps in there. So to see that again, it made me happy. It brought some joy to me to see a physical map.
Oh, wonderful. And, you know, from a trip planning perspective, having all those parks laid out on that map, you can easily see, well, these couple parks are really close, so that maybe I can string a loop trip together between them. Or you can see, oops, I can't do these two together because one's on one side of the country and one's on the other side. It's pretty visual to be able to see what's going on there.
Yeah, so do you have to get the full experience and pitch a tent and camp, or can you just go and enjoy it and then go stay somewhere else?
Oh, absolutely. You can go and enjoy it and stay somewhere else. In many of the chapters, and of course each park has a chapter in the book, in many of those chapters, we have a what to do if you only have one day.
Hmm.
So it'll target like the top highlight to go do, whether it be a scenic drive or a boat tour or some sort of hiking trail. It'll basically define for you, here's what to do. And then for the big parks, we target the top three experiences to have when you go to the park.
Hmm.
So for those people that don't have a lot of time and you just kind of want to get a flavor and then go stay outside the park somewhere, so you can definitely figure out what you want to do based on that stuff.
Perfect. And all broken down to the different national parks. USA National Parks is the name of the book, and author Becky Lomax joining us. So let's say you're a novice like myself. When I was young, we didn't do a lot of family trips. My dad really loved the outdoors, so we'd go to different parks if we were to travel, or, not always a national park, but we'd do different things like that. We'd go camping. So now that I'm an adult, I haven't gone camping at all. I almost completely forgot what it was like for that experience. It's been so long. So can you give me some of those things I should try to avoid? Any mistakes, like rookie mistakes, if I were to start going to national parks in future vacations?
Well, for camping, yes. You definitely want to check the season before you go, because in some parks, like the Northern Rockies, Yellowstone Grand Teton, Glacier, you don't want to go there in winter to go camping because mm-hmm. there's feet of snow on the ground.
Oh, yeah.
So make sure you check the seasons. The other thing is, with many of the national parks, camping inside the park has gotten so popular that it's really a great idea to get reservations for those campgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do that. Reservations usually open up 6 months in advance at recreation.gov, and it's a good idea to get those reservations, because if you wait to the last minute, you may not be able to get a campsite in the park, and you might have to go outside the park to camp.
Gotcha.
And I might add, too, a lot of the parks have lodges inside the park that you can stay at.
Hmm.
And those are awesome places to stay. You know, they've got all the amenities. They've got, hot showers
Yeah.
Nice comfy beds and all that kind of stuff. And you're dry, and you don't have to worry about rain.
Yeah.
But the thing about those that you want to do is make sure you get your reservations a year in advance for those.
I see. So they book up that quickly.
They do. And once they open the reservations, a lot of them go super fast.
Wow. Probably another tip, too. Don't go during a government shutdown. Is that a good tip? Or is that a tip that you don't have to worry about?
That's a great tip. Although, you know, some of the parks stayed open.
Oh, yeah.
I live right outside of Glacier Park, and it stayed open during the shutdown. But, of course, most of the roads in the park were, you know, are buried under snow. So the only thing we could do would be ski and snowshoe, really.
Yeah. If you thought about doing some traveling, checking out the national parks, this is a must-have book from Becky Lomax, USA National Parks, the complete guide to all 59 parks, plus one extra if you go to moon.com with the Gateway Arch National Park there. We're going to continue our conversation with her next on KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. I've always thought about traveling to visit some national parks. I think when my son gets a little bit older, he's really going to enjoy things like this. So if you want to get an idea of what to expect from each national park, some of the different experiences there, this is an awesome guide. Becky Lomax is the author of USA National Parks. We'll continue our conversation. What's the largest national park in the United States?
It's in Alaska, and it's Wrangell St. Elias Park, and it's monstrous. Mm-hmm. It's like about 7 to 8 million acres.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a lot.
Yeah, no kidding.
Like you could put, 2.5 Yellowstones into that.
Wow. That's amazing to me.
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge.
How do you even manage that much land?
Well, so much of that is wilderness.
Yeah.
That, there's two roads that go into the park, and the rest of it is pretty much wilderness. So it doesn't get a lot of people in the wilderness sections, that's for sure.
Wow. So what are your favorite parks, personally, the ones that you enjoy the most?
Oh, I always enjoy whichever park I'm at the moment. But
yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course. But, you know, when I was up in Denali, I was in heaven. The wildlife watching up there, the walking through the alpine tundra, seeing that, the tallest peak in North America just sitting there at the end of the valley was impressive. And, another one, when I backpacked for 10 days through the Grand Canyon, that just, of the geology there, I was in awe because those cliffs down there are just so amazing. The colors and the wash across the cliffs with the, how the rain and the water dripping down kind of leaves these interesting little colors and marks and stuff. That was an amazing trip.
Wow. You know, what's the most mosquito bites you've ever had?
I don't know. I never count.
There's got to be some trips. By the time you're done, you're thinking, there's not enough of that lotion to put on me because I just got bit like crazy.
Yeah, well, you know what I've resorted to because I do so much hiking. Mm-hmm. I've gone to wearing long sleeves and long pants.
You just have to, right?
Yes. If it's that mosquito-y, it makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
Just to keep as much skin covered up as you possibly can.
The book is called USA National Parks, and author Becky Lomax joining us here on KMOX. What do you think about, drones? I know there's technology people bring to the parks, and they want to get these beautiful shots. Do you think they might detract from some of it, or do you think maybe people are using them responsibly so it doesn't really detract?
Well, guess what? People were not using them responsibly, and they got outlawed in the national parks.
Oh, so all of the national parks, none of that.
Correct.
Wow, I didn't know.
I believe it's all of them.
Yeah.
I know all the big ones, Yellowstone. Somebody crashed one right into one of the hot springs.
Ugh, of course. That's terrible.
You can't retrieve that stuff when it's in there.
Yeah, I know.
So, yeah, it's I know there's some company, you know, commercial companies, photography companies,
yeah.
every once in a while can get a special permit to do something, to use one. But because I know the movie Free Solo that came out,
yeah.
I believe they used some drones in that to photograph some of the climbing.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. All right. So
yeah.
if people want to check out your book, what's the best place for them to go to?
Well, the easiest place is just go to moon.com,
mm-hmm.
and then that can let you know what bookstores carry it. But pretty much any of the big online retailers carry the book, and many of the independent bookstores carry it, too.
I heard this is recommended by buffaloes and mooses all across the country as well. USA National Parks and author Becky Lomax, the website moon.com, M-O-O-N, and you can find out where to pick up this wonderful book. Do it just for the map in the back alone. Becky, thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
Well, thank you. It was fun.
Oh, it is fun. I enjoy that. All right. I don't think I'll be doing any traveling soon. I always thought it would be fun to hop into an RV and just travel. I just hit the open road, get about 5 miles to the gallon and go at it. Can't always do that sort of thing, but man, I thought that would be fun. Got about one segment left until Our American Stories kick off at 2 o'clock here. And yeah, I have a couple of other stories. I got a stack of stories I didn't get a chance to get to. I know that later tonight, Thursday night, we have the Blues puck drop at 8:30. That means we're probably not going to get on until after midnight, which means we'll probably have less than a two-hour show, which means I got to get through some of these stories before it's too late. So we may do some of that next. Or if you want to text in, for example, I still got the text line open at 314-436-7900 on Overnight America KMOX.
Ryan Recker. Overnight America. The two best things in your night on KMOX.
So we've got one more segment left here. I guess if you want to call in, you could, but I got a couple of... just a few random things. Might as well. Our American Stories in about 20 minutes from now at 2:06. We get CBS News. And, of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Ryan Recker. Or if you want to text in to the show, 314-436-7900. It's a local number here in St. Louis, Missouri. Or maybe you're listening somewhere else outside the area. It's 800-925-1120. Yeah, an 800 number. How about that? So let me start with this one. Chicago Sun-Times has been profiling James Holzhauer. If you don't know who he is the dude on Jeopardy that won't stop winning. 14 episodes and made him a millionaire. You believe that? Guy is just raking in cash. So he's a native just outside Chicago, and on Tuesday became the second person in the history of Jeopardy to win more than $1 million in a regular season play. So right now his winnings to date, $1,061,554. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. Ken Jennings did that in 74 games in 2004. He got $2.5 million. But nowhere near the pace. I mean, this guy is on pace to just shatter that record if he keeps winning. He says that his most recent win now ranks fourth all time for a consecutive win list. Going to the final round, he had $68,000 with a correct answer of American history and a wager of $50,000. He totaled $118,000. You imagine making it to that final round. He got 68. You easily could slide through and win, but this dude takes the risks and he puts the $50,000 wager down. Wow. Over and over and over. I've also read some articles that Jeopardy doesn't know what to do with this guy because this has to be throwing their budget up. Side down. There's no way they could have accounted for a guy like this to get in there and do his thing. I think he's a professional gambler. I think I've read that somewhere. Yeah. All right. One story down. This is kind of cool. If you purchase anything from Amazon online, you know that it's a little inconvenient to ship back a return. They'll take anything. They'll give you your money back, but it's up to you to get it into a box, pay the shipping, and get it out. And I've had some different services that'll actually pay for shipping, but a lot of times Amazon will not. Well, that's a little bit different now because they've now added the option for you to go into any Kohl's and start to get your product returned through there. So instead of mailing it back to Amazon, you go into a Kohl's across the United States or anywhere here across St. Louis, beginning in July. Nationwide, they'll offer this. You just swap it out. No need to put it and send it to the post office. All of those things are now obsolete. Well, I guess the post office isn't. They still send some things to the post office. A lot of things they don't. They have their own delivery drivers now. If you actually haven't ordered anything off Amazon, they're so popular that they have their own methods of transportation. They don't have to rely on UPS or the postal service when you're living in an area that has these distribution centers like St. Louis. And you'll just get this big white van pop up to your house and they'll drop off the package, knock on the door and leave. I mean, these guys are on a tight schedule. They're out all the time. That means sometimes you can even get your package next day. You don't even have to wait 2 or 3 days if you have Amazon Prime. It's amazing how fast these things can get out there. So at first they had this pilot program. It started about 2 years ago or so, and the major cities were offering it. But now all of the Kohl's are going to start offering it this summer in July, which is a pretty big deal for Kohl's. When you look at trends in how consumers purchase goods, online sales have just started to dominate. You can't get around it. It's all the places that do not offer online sales that you see really struggling right now. You know, Walmart, it took them a little bit longer than usual to get into the game, but then now they offer it. They have a pretty big marketplace there. Nationwide, Amazon by far is still the biggest one. You know, worldwide, you have the Alibabas of the world and some of these other ones across the other side of the world, but Amazon is still kind of the gold standard when it comes to this. What I'm trying to say with Amazon being able to do all of these things, it's a smart thing for Kohl's, knowing that maybe they were late to the game in shipping, but they can still benefit from the trend that Amazon started. So what an incredibly smart thing for them to do and partner with Amazon. So instead of trying to fall by the wayside or trying not to fall by the wayside, the next thing they can do is just get out there and ride the wave that they didn't even have to start. They just get to be a part of it. It's almost like they're leeching or they're just on the backs of Amazon. Because what happens when that one person comes into Kohl's to return something? Well, they have to walk, I'm going to guess, through the store to get to the part where they need to return it. So they're going to walk by clothes and items and discount stuff and whatever it is, which gives an opportunity for someone to buy and purchase something in store. And if you think about the mindset of someone that just returned something, they may be thinking, well, I got about $40 going back in my card. Well, I guess I could spend $10 on the shirt I really like. Or, oh, how about that? It makes sense. And it's amazing that Kohl's found a way to benefit from a company that was trying to put them out of business, which is Amazon. Isn't that something? All right, put that one to the side. Oh, here's one in St. Louis. This is from KMOV. St. Louis Metropolitan Police officer accused of attempting to tase his partner while they're on patrol. Christopher Childers, 34 years old, charged with fourth-degree assault. What are you thinking, man? Who does that? So apparently, police said he tried to tase his partner, police officer tase his partner, as she was driving her patrol on Washington in downtown St. Louis. The incident happened February 26. Charges were just filed Wednesday. The other officer was afraid she would lose control of her patrol car. What kind of horsing around goes on? Seriously, if the St. Louis Police Department didn't already have enough baggage for them to deal with, now they got to deal with one other officer that probably thought it was hilarious. Oh, I'm going to tase you while you're driving. There's another story. Oh, one more. How many of these can I get through? I feel if I don't get through them, it's such a waste for me to do all this prep and I still don't even get to use all of it. Pew Research came out with a new study and found that 10% of Americans still don't use the internet. Wow. How is that a thing? Pretty much everyone I thought used the internet or at least had access to it. So 10% of adults do not use the internet. They found that the figure is substantially lower than that of 2000. And even in 2000, if you think about it, everyone I knew had the internet in 2000. Everyone I knew how to use the internet in 2000. Maybe my grandma might not have had a computer. So you're coming off of the 90s and computers were still extremely expensive. You remember your first home PC, you're spending thousands of dollars on these computers that were just becoming obsolete so quick. And, you know, you get your personal computer at your house and you don't quite know how to use it. You don't know how it operates. It's still fairly new. And a lot of times the older generation didn't want to spend the money or get on board or see the use for it, which I totally understand. So, yeah, in 2000, I can see if you're someone that's never even heard of the internet, why you wouldn't want to purchase a computer for something. You have no idea what you're going to use it for. But then eventually, you know, times change, computers become more affordable, people are able to get their hands on multiple computers inside the household, so it's not just one family computer in the living room. And, you know, the next thing you know, you get more elderly that are trying to figure out how they're going to connect, and, you know, they may see it inside of their kids or their grandkids and say, maybe I'll give this a try, this sounds like fun. So right now it's at 10%. Back in 2000, 48% of American adults did not use the internet, 48%. So that's a huge drop over the past nearly 20 years that you saw. For instance, seniors are much more likely than younger adults to have never gone online, although the share of non-internet users aged 65 and older has decreased by 7% since 2008. 27% still do not use the internet. Isn't that crazy? It's hard to believe, even if you look at all adults on average, 10% do not use the internet. 27% do not use it if you're over the age of 65. And when I hear these studies, I think, could I get away with not using the internet? And the answer is probably, yeah, because of my job. Unless, if someone said, we're going to give you a challenge and you're not allowed to use the internet at your house. So you could use it for your work, because it's necessary for you to do your job here at KMOX. But outside of that, you can't do it. If you can stay away from the internet for 1 year without using it and cheating, we'll give you $1 million. I would definitely take up that challenge. I think it'd be well worth my time and sanity, because the internet drives me crazy all the time. All the time it drives me crazy. A third of non-internet users did not go online because they had no interest in doing so. And I envy those people who have that self-control and discipline that can do other things with their lives without wasting it scrolling on a screen over and over and over again. Well, that does it for this show in the books. Want to say go Blues. Very excited to see what's going to happen later tonight. An 8:30 puck drop, which you're going to catch live here on KMOX. Afterwards, you'll be able to hear the post game, and I'll be on immediately after that, which means it could be another late night Thursday, but it's going to give you a chance to sound off on the Blues game. At Ryan Recker on Twitter, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the podcast at KMOX.com/ONA. Right on your computer, if you do have that internet. KMOX.com/ONA. Have a great night. We'll see you soon.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.